Sometimes you're preparing worship and scripture, the scripture stands alone as the message. So we offer this reading to you today as a message for how we are to be people of faith. Let's hear these words with open hearts.
The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The fact of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd.
By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see.
By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice.
By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and they couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anybody who wants to approach God must believe both that God exists and that God cares enough to respond to those that seek God.
By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God.
By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in a country promised him, lived as a stranger camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God.
By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the God who made a promise would do what God said. That's how it happened, that from one couple's faith, there are now people numbering into the millions.
Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world.
People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true, true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they would have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them.
By faith, Abraham at the time of testing offered Isaac back to God. Acting in faith, he was as ready to return the promised son, his only son, as he had been to receive him. And this after he had already been told, "Your descendants shall come from Isaac." Abraham figured that if God wanted to, God could raise the dead. In a sense, that's what happened when he received Isaac back, alive from the altar.
By an act of faith, Isaac reached into the future and blessed Jacob and Esau.
By an act of faith, Jacob, on his deathbed, blessed each of Joseph's sons in return, blessing them with God's blessing, not his own, as he bowed to worship upon his staff.
By an act of faith, Joseph, while dying, prophesied the exodus of Israel and made arrangements for his own burial.
By an act of faith, Moses' parents hid him away for 3 months after his birth. They saw the child's beauty and they braved the king's decree.
By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff.
By an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt. Indifferent to the king's blind rage, he had his eye on the one no eye can see and kept right on going. By an act of faith, he kept the Passover feast and sprinkled Passover blood on each house so that the destroyer of the firstborn wouldn't touch them.
By an act of faith, Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried it and drowned.
By faith, the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days and the walls fell flat.
By an act of faith, Rahab welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came to those who refused to trust God.
I could go on and on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantages to advantage, won battles, and routed alien armies.
Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who were under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others braved whips and abuse, and yes, chains and dungeons.
We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, and powerless. The world didn't deserve them, making their way as best they could through the cruel edges of this world.
Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one complete whole, their lives of faith not complete apart from ours.
Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic. No.
Parasitic.
Parasitic, thank you. Parasitic sins.
Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, the exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God.
When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again and again, by item by item. That long litany of hostility Jesus plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your soul.
In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves, or have you forgotten how good parents treat children, and that God rewards you as God's children?
My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it either. It is the child God loves that God disciplines. The child God embraces, God also corrects. God is educating you, and that's why you must never drop out. God's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. The normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents would leave their children to fend for themselves.
Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. So why not embrace God's training so we can truly live.
While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun at all. It always feels like it's going against the grain.
Later, of course, it pays off handsomely. For it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in their relationship with God.
So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet.
Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle.
Help each other out.
And run for it. The living word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.